I take off my glasses, you guys are all fuzzy. You could be making faces at me right now, and I wouldn't have a clue. And then if I put them back on, I see pretty clearly. But that really doesn't kind of get it. And so try to imagine this is how you see. Isn't it better if you see like this? Please bow with me. Almighty Lord and Savior, thank you so much for this day. Lord, you have blessed us in so many ways. You are our King and our Savior and the seeker of our souls. While we were your enemy, you sent your Son to die on that cross, to pay our price, to reconcile us so that we can be in a relationship with you. Such amazing love. Guide us, help us, give us wisdom. And as we study your word, help us to see your Son clearly. Pray that you'll be with me at this time, that I'll speak from your word to your glory, and the power of your message will shine forth. Lord, I am such a weak vessel. It is your word that has strength. We thank you, we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, we're going to be studying from Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. Mark likes to place stories together that illustrate each other, kind of like a story sandwich. And so as you're looking at some of the stories, not all of them, but some of the stories, you want to pay attention to what's going on before and after. And it's not that the stories aren't true, because they're very much true. They happen just as Mark tells them, but they illustrate what's going on in the context. Before this passage, Jesus told his disciples to watch out, beware, using two words that mean pay attention or to see. They're two different words, but they have a pretty close or similar meaning. Pay attention. See what's going on. And yet, we know that they didn't see what was going on. They completely missed what Jesus was trying to say because they were focused on something else. Now, after this passage, you have Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ. Before we get there, you have people, they're telling him that some say you're a prophet, some say you're Elijah, and they go through all of this, and people who are seeing Jesus, but their vision's pretty blurry. But even Jesus' confession of Christ was blurry. Do you remember what happens? I know we're going to study this in 2 weeks, but this is kind of like a tease, you know. Hey, this is what we're going to look at 2 weeks from now. Even as he admits that Jesus is Christ, then Jesus begins to explain what that means, and then Peter rebukes him because he didn't like that vision. He didn't like that picture of Christ. And so Jesus had to say, "Get behind me, Satan. You're thinking of the things of men and not the things of God." So Peter's vision, he was able to see Jesus, but it was very blurry. Verse 22. And they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored him to touch him. Taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village, and after spitting in his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" First thing we notice is this is pretty odd. It doesn't start off odd. They come to Bethsaida. That can be one of two places on either side of the Sea of Galilee. So we're not real sure where it's at. Probably on the western shore. They come to Bethsaida. And some people bring him a blind man. Nothing odd so far. And then they implore him. They beg. They invite. They summon. They ask for his help, basically. And notice what they're asking for. They're asking Jesus to touch him. Now that is a little bit odd, because they don't come out and say, "We would like for our friend to be able to see." Now, I think that was what they wanted, but I think it's interesting how they ask, could you touch him? And man, I think there might be a lesson there for us. Now, I'm a firm believer in specific prayers. I think James 5 teaches that. I think the prayers of a righteous man that accomplish much are the prayers of very specific and praying about an illness. But sometimes I wonder if we can't just back up a little bit and just say, I don't know what you're going to do here, Jesus, but could you just touch this man? And whatever that means, I know it's going to be good. Amen. They may not be healed physically, but if you touch them, that has got to be a good thing. And so I think it's pretty impressive, these guys. Now I know there's also some things, other things going on here. In the Old Testament, one of the ways that you conveyed a blessing was by laying your hands on that person. So maybe they're asking Jesus to bless him in some way. But again, they don't get specific. I think sometimes we limit God by being too specific. Lord, I want this job. Okay? And I don't want just any job, Lord. I want this one. How about we've just said, Lord, could you bless me with a job? And then leave it up to God where that takes us. I think there's some significant things there. And then Jesus takes him by the hand, takes him outside of the village. I think that's just because, okay, he's already got a crowd, but he doesn't want that crowd to grow. The people who brought him, I'm pretty convinced, followed him outside of the village. But he doesn't want this crowd to get any bigger. So he drags a man outside of the village, and then literally he spits into his eyes. Yeah, that's weird. Can you imagine? See, the Jews believed that spit was unclean. Now, in most, if not all societies, spitting on somebody is not a good thing. Yeah. Right? Try to imagine what these guys are thinking that brought this guy and said, could you touch him? I didn't mean with spit. I mean, come on. And they see Jesus spit into his eyes. Can you imagine the blind man? What in the world? Yeah, he didn't see what was, for all he knew, it could have been bird droppings. I don't know. Can you imagine? Everybody else is going, try to picture this. Try to picture what most people's reaction would be. Jesus spit into the guy's eyes. Now there's something going on here. I think anytime we come across a passage that's weird, and by the way, there are weird passages in the Bible, aren't there? Anytime we come across a passage that's a little bit different and weird, we're supposed to pay attention. See, I think Jesus is able to use what we think is unclean. I don't mean like sin, although I think God does use sin. Isn't that what Paul is talking about, 1 Corinthians 5 or 4, somewhere in there? It may even be 2 Corinthians, I don't know. But where he talks about, you know, when we sin, we turn around and use that to comfort others. God takes, you see, isn't that why 12-step programs work? Because it's a group of people that have struggled with that very thing, and they've come on the other end, and now they're helping others to get through it. That is God taking something that is unclean and using it for his glory. But I think it means more than that. I think there are things that we think are filthy that aren't. And then God uses it in ways that are completely unexpected. Because you see, Jesus did some things that were unexpected. I don't think anybody expected Jesus to spit on this guy's face. When they brought him, I don't think they said, okay, we know he's going to spit. Let's just deal with it. It was so completely unexpected. And again, sometimes I wonder, are we willing to allow God to do the unexpected in our life? Are we willing to allow God to do the unexpected? Sometimes God's methods don't make sense to us. Right? I mean, think of Jericho. Have you ever thought about the guys that God said, I want you to march around the city wall? Okay. Then what? I want you to come back and do it again the next day. Okay. Then what? I want you to keep doing that until the seventh day, and then I want you to march around seven times and blow your horns, and that's it. Man, that doesn't make sense. I mean, come on, we were ready to draw up some battle plans here, Lord. You just want us to walk around the city and blow some trumpets? What about Gideon? Gideon, you've got too many men. We're still outnumbered, Lord. No, you got too many. Let everybody go home that wants to go home. And thousands leave. And then God says, you still have too many. Can you imagine? Wait a minute, this doesn't make sense, Lord. This is not making sense. He narrows it down to 300 men, tells them to put, lanterns in under clay and then break it and yell. Again, great battle plan. Here's what I'm convinced of. If God was not behind the plan, it would have failed miserably. Because I'm convinced that if, they might have been a little bit scared to begin with, but I think eventually they would have figured it out. Right? We know that God sent some dreams among the people, and so he had things working. But if God wasn't behind the plan, it would have been a complete failure. It would have been like, remember when the Israelites brought the Ark of the Covenant to battle? And they thought this was a good plan, but it wasn't God's plan. And at first the Philistines were like, oh no, we're in trouble. And somebody says, oh, just get busy and get out there and do some fighting. And they completely wipe them out. Take the Ark captive. Because God was not behind the plan. This is what I hear today a lot. Baptism doesn't make sense. Now, it's a beautiful, beautiful symbol to me. It makes perfect sense. But I've talked to a lot of people and said, oh, no, that doesn't make sense. You're turning that into a work. So I'm like, you allow somebody to dunk you under the water and you think you're working somehow. You think that's a work? You think that's a way to earn your salvation? And how about we come to the place where God says, this is what I want you to do, and we say, yes, Lord! I think that would be probably a good response with God. Instead of trying to make it make sense, and then things will be clearer for us. Verse 24. And he looked up and said, well, Jesus asked him, do you see anything? And he looked up and said, I see men, for I see them like trees walking around. Then again he laid his hands on his eyes, and he looked intently and was restored, and began to see everything clearly. And he said to him, and he sent him to his home, saying, do not even enter the village. So he looks up. That can mean he gained sight. He gains sight, and he sees everything, but he sees men walking around, but they look like trees. His vision was very blurry. But can you imagine? I don't know how long this man was blind. He may have been born blind, or he may have become blind sometime. We're not told. But the bottom line is, does it matter? If you were not able to see at all, and then all of a sudden you're able to see men, isn't that better than nothing? He had some sight back. I don't think he said, oh, doggone it. I just see these guys, they look like trees, Lord. Your healing was ineffective. I think he probably got a little excited. He says, yes, I see people. Man, they look like trees. Now, some people have suggested, well, that tells us right there that he had had his sight before. Well, not really. Blind people formulate images in their mind.
That's right.
So he had an idea of what trees look like. He had an idea of what people look like. Yeah. And so his vision is very blurry, and this is really odd, isn't it? I mean, this is the only time that Jesus healed in stages. This is the only time that it didn't happen like that. Now, I've heard people use this as an excuse, like, you know, if you've ever seen faith healers on TV. And I saw this one guy, man, this girl was deaf. And he whacked her upside the heel! And then he got behind her. She was right 50% of the time. Can you imagine? And he said, it's going to take some time, just like the blind man that Jesus healed. Now, the problem is, this is the exception, not the rule. Every other time, it was automatically. I mean, just right then, the person's healed. So I think that tells us, again, something's going on here that we need to look at, that we're supposed to see. It says, then again, he was restored, and that can mean restored to the original. And again, some people have used that to say, but again, the original can have the idea of how God intended. I'm just saying, I'm not sure we can say this man was able to see before. He may have been born blind. We just don't know. I think Jesus did it this way for the sake of the blind man. I don't think it was because this guy had a lack of faith. And by the way, I don't think he had to spit on the man to heal him. I think he did that specifically so people could learn a lesson. I think Jesus liked to do things that were unexpected. I think he's doing this for this guy's sake. And I think part of it might be, and this is just completely my guess, sensory overload. I think he's trying to ease this guy into having clear vision. I think he's saying, okay, we're going to do this in stages because I don't want you to... Can you imagine being blind and then all of a sudden being able to see everything clearly, sharply? I think he's doing this for this guy's sake. Can't prove that. Just kind of what I believe. Sometimes our vision of Jesus is rather blurry. And again, we put this in its context, and that's the overall point. You got a lot of people that are seeing Jesus, but they're not seeing him very clearly. Their vision is blurry. And sometimes our vision is like that. The only cure is to be touched by Jesus. So that's what Jesus does. He lays his hand. He doesn't spit again. He lays his hands on him. The only cure for bad sight is to be touched by Jesus. Now, before I say what I'm going to say, I need you to understand, I am a firm believer in studying God's Word. We need to be a people who studies the book. But it does not matter how much you study, if you're not touched by Jesus Christ, you will not fully grasp what's going on. See, there are people out there who know the Word of God frontwards and backwards, and they can quote it and they can say it. You know, I mentioned before Dr. Avalos, who teaches at Iowa State, who doesn't even believe in God. He can quote the Bible in Greek. Man, that's impressive, isn't it? He can quote it and you know, he knows Hebrew, he knows Aramaic, and he'll be the first one to tell you, I taught myself those languages. But he doesn't know my Jesus Christ. And so he doesn't get what God's doing in Scriptures. And his vision's not even blurry. His vision's just non-existent. The only way we're going to truly see is if we allow Jesus Christ to touch us. I think that means we spend time with Jesus. The more we spend time with Jesus, the more our sight will become sharper. I was baptized when I was 9 years old. See, I'm fairly convinced. I knew what I was doing. I wanted to serve God. I wanted to die to myself. I wanted to allow God to resurrect me, to walk in that newness of life. But I'll have to be honest with you, my vision was really blurry. Through the years, it's gotten a little sharper. But it's still blurry. Are you with me? I love the story that John tells about his dad. About how he called up and he said, I learned something about the Holy Spirit today. You see, that's my vision's getting sharper moment, isn't it? I want to have those moments the rest of my life. I don't ever want to sit back and say, well, I see Jesus as good enough. Thank you very much. I want for Jesus to keep touching me and to keep showing me the truth of God's word. I want to be able to see clearer and clearer. I want to wake up in the morning and just show me you, Lord. I've mentioned this several times, I know. But if I pick this up to back up what I already believe, my vision will stay blurry.
Amen. That's right.
If I pick this up and ask my God to show me Him, my vision will become sharper. And I want to see Jesus. Isn't that good news? If you stay in contact with Jesus Christ, your vision will get better. See, my physical vision just keeps getting worse. Something about age does that, doesn't it? But my spiritual sight, and isn't it ironic? As God's taken away your physical sight, He's giving you better spiritual sight. Some of you have never had to wear glasses. You don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Hey. But most of us, as we get older, our vision gets worse. But we have a guarantee. I believe this is a promise. You stay in contact with Jesus Christ, and your vision, your spiritual sight, will get clearer and clearer and clearer. I pray that I never reach the day on this earth where I say, my vision is good enough. Because it never will be. I pray that I never reach the day where I can't learn from my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray that I never reach the day where I see things fuzzy and think that's okay. I want a holy hunger for clear vision. And the good news, every day that you spend time with Jesus, your vision gets clearer.
Amen.
Praise God.
That's right.
This is why this is so important. I had this study in prison Monday. Didn't start off so well. One of the guys was going off on the president, talking about how, man, somebody could assassinate him. That'd be okay. So, whoa, back up. I almost sounded like, never mind, I don't know. It was weird. But I said, wait a minute, you're supposed to be praying for your leaders. Well, I don't have to pray for their protection. Really? I just have to pray that they're going to be converted. I said, well, answer me this. If somebody kills them, can they be converted? See what happens is if we're not willing to allow God to keep working in our hearts, we're gonna stall out. And then he started talking about how God, his spiritual gift was to be able to tell if somebody was ever going to be converted or not. Really? I don't usually question people's spiritual gifts. But he was being so judgmental. I don't have anything to do with those pukes. I'm like, here's what I know. If the gift leads you to be judgmental, it's not coming from God.
That's right.
See, we want our vision to get sharper. And my concern about this gentleman is his vision just seems to get blurrier and blurrier. There's nothing I can do about that except for to introduce him to the great eye doctor. But he's got to allow Jesus to touch him. We need to allow Jesus to touch us. And never get to the point where we think we're good enough. I want to keep growing. I want to be more like God. Because when I look at my life, I'm nowhere close. You know? I just want to get more like my God. The only way is through Jesus Christ. You got to spend time with him. Knowing this is good. Keep studying. But spend time with Jesus. And your vision will get sharper. And isn't that a great thing? If there's anyone here this morning that needs prayers for any reason, maybe you felt like your spiritual vision's just getting worse. Let's all be honest, we've all been there, right? Haven't we? If you need prayers, if you need help, we would love to pray for you. If you want to know more about our God who wants you to have 20/20 spiritual vision, we would love to talk to you about him. Whatever you need, please come as gathered we stand and sing.